she said, and added in the voice of one who has been put upon and will extract payment later. "I'm sure I can make it stretch to three." War's big red face wrinkled. "Do I like rabbit?"
"Yes, dear."
"I thought I liked beef."
"No, dear, beef gives you wind."
"Huh," War sighed. "Any chance of onions?"
"You don't like onions, dear."
"I don't."
"Because of your stomach, dear."
"Huh." War smiled awkwardly at Death. "It's rabbit," he said.
Dear, do I ride out for apocalypses?"
Mrs. War took the lid off a saucepan and prodded viciously at something inside.
"No, dear," she said firmly. "You always come down with a cold."
"I thought I rather, sort of liked that kind of thing."
"No, dear, you don't."
Despite himself, Death was fascinated. He had never come across the idea of keeping your memory inside someone else's head.
"Perhaps I would like a beer," War ventured.
"You don't like beer, dear."
"I don't."
"No, it brings on your trouble."
How do I feel about brandy?"
"You don't like brandy, dear. You like your special oat drink with the vitamins."
"Oh, yeah," said War mournfully. "I'd forgotten I liked that."
He looked sheepishly at Death.
"It's quite nice," he said.
"Could I have a word with you," said Death, "in private?"
War looked puzzled.
"Do I like work?"
"In private, please," Death thundered.
Mrs. War turned and gave Death a disdainful look.
"I understand, I quite understand," she said haughtily, "but don't you dare say anything to bring on his acid. That's all I shall say."
Mrs. War had been a Valkyrie once, Death remembered. It was another reason to be extremely careful on the battlefield.
"You've never been tempted by the prospect of marriage, old man?"
said War when she'd gone.
"No, absolutely not. In no way."
"Why not?"
Death was nonplussed. It was like asking a brick wall what it thought of dentistry. As a question, it made no sense.
"I have been to see the other two," he said, ignoring it. "Famine doesn't care, and pestilence is frightened."
"The two of us against the auditors," said War.
"Right is on our side."
"Speaking as War," said War, "I'd hate to tell you what happens to very small armies that have right on their side."
"I have seen you fight."
"My old right arm isn't what it was," War murmured.
"You are immortal. You are not ill," said Death.
But he could see the worried, slightly hunted look in War's eyes and knew that there was only one way this was going to go. To be human was to change, Death realised. The horsemen were horsemen. Men had wished upon them a certain shape, a certain form. And just like the gods and the Tooth Fairy and the Hogfather, their shape had changed them. They would never be human, but they had caught aspects of humanity as though they were some kind of disease. Because the point was that nothing had one aspect and one aspect alone. Men would envisage a being called Famine, but once they gave him arms and legs and eyes, that meant he had to have a brain. That meant he'd think. And a brain can't think about plagues of locusts all the time. Emergent behaviour again. Complications always crept in. Everything changed.
"Thank goodness," thought Death, "that I am completely unchanged and exactly the same as I ever was."
And then there was one.
Tick.
The hammer stopped halfway across the room. Mr. White walked over and picked it out of the air.
"Really, your ladyship," he said, "you think we don't watch you? You, the Igor, make the clock ready."
Igor looked from him to Lady Lejean and back.
"I only take orders from Master Jeremy, thank you," he said.
"The world will end if you start that clock," said Lady Lejean.
"What a foolish idea," said Mr. White. "We laugh at it."
"Ha, ha, ha," said the other auditors obediently.
"I don't need medicine," Jeremy shouted, pushing Dr. Hopkins out of the way. "And I don't need people to tell me what to do. Shut up!"
In the silence, thunder grumbled in the clouds.